Blog Talk Radio.
Your people receive everything that you have planned.
Instruct us in all the truth. Let there be freedom, let there be salvation today. Only in the name of Jesus, Yahushua, Jewish Messiah, may be glorified in all this show. That's what we pray, and we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, my brothers and sisters, thank you again for joining us on another journey on the search for the truth, for the freedom that Jesus promised to all of us, that we propose in our hearts to endure until the end. to not be conformed with the spirit of the age. So tonight we will have another part of a series of shows that we are presenting called the Church History, where we will be talking about some facts that marked the evolution of the institution called Church, and where we pretend to show you how we have become so far away from the simplicity of the gospel of Christ, the mission, the sacrifice that took Jesus to die for us, and how through the ages, through the centuries, men have been polluted by the forces, the invisible forces that try to control our minds, our lives, our hearts through deceptions. So tonight we will be making the connections, the historical connection between what we have started talking on the first program of this series called the Gnostic Infiltration, between these thinkers of Gnosticism, these apostates, and the influence that become each century more visible on the institutional church called the Catholic Church. We will present you, or we will try to present you, the proofs, the historical proofs of what we have today amongst us being called as Christians. It's nothing else than what the first apostles and their disciples called the enemy. For that, I will bring you some information based on a book called The Ancient Fathers, What the Disciples of the Apostles Taught, that was published by Dr. Ken Johnson, a brother that had courage, some facts that should be always shared amongst all the denominations, and that will help you to understand the roots of the curses that walk free among those that are called now Christians. I'm talking about real curses, like fake holidays, like fake dates connected to our Savior, that we have been taught from the beginning, even in some evangelical movements, how this still controls the mind and heart of people. We will understand that what we have been taught, for those that come from the Catholicism, about the Mass, about the blood and bread of Christ, has been corrupted by heresies that the apostles start fighting with their epistles, and that now what we have in so much congregations, it's nothing more than the same heresies, but with another clothes. So for that, I will try to make a light show. I don't want you to end the show and be in panic or be despaired. No. I will present you this, of course, because it's real, but I will present you as a way for you to avoid the deceptions. And the only way we have to avoid all the deceptions that Satan and his fallen beings produce every age, every century, is to abide on the truth, on the teachings, on the faith of the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus the Christ. Nothing else is needed. Even the Bible, for those that still want to believe in the Bible,
and not only in what the holy men say. The Bible said that those that not confirm teachings of Christ, that go further or that change these teachings, they are suburban. They are with vanity, because only one is the master. So there is a lot of things to do and say to deprogramming the minds and souls from this system that has entangled us between two fronts, the completely atheism, the paganism, which we have known when we were in the world, and the fake spirituality that all these deceptions produced by fallen beings promote an emptiness in our hearts that doesn't let us to know the real Spirit of God. It doesn't allow us to have direct communion with our Savior, to the only person that really has the power to give that communion. That is the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. And that is a feminine word in Hebrew. So my brothers and sisters, please enjoy the music. I hope that this music will help you to forget the dangers of this world, the heaviness, burn, the burden that this world tries, the anxiety, the fears, and let us focus on the pure things, like these melodies that I believe God has blessed these musicians to connect us with His purity, with His love, that only brings lightness and light to our life. I hope that these 2 hours will help you to feel how good is life when we have Jesus Christ, when we have allowed Jesus Christ, Yahushua, the Messiah from the tribe of Judah, to fill us with His Spirit, to wash in His blood and make us strong to obey for the things that He and His direct apostles and the disciples of His apostles try to defend. God bless you all. I'll be right back. Enjoy the song. Glory to God. Jesus is King. There is no other Master. There is no other King like our Master and King Jesus. Okay, brothers, let me just remind you some of what we have already talked on the other show. Let's start seeing that on the time of the apostles, when they start the Great Commission after the resurrection of Jesus, they were fighting against all kind of infiltrations, all kind of other schools that were coming from ancient times with another disguises. This was the schools of the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the old mystery schools coming from Babylon, Egypt, and even earlier. This was the kingdom of Satan that has been installed since the beginning of times when Adam has fallen, and they produce all kind of teachings, even the advent of Genesis 6 that promoted this state of mind, teaching as astrology, teaching deceptions, witchcraft to the men. And this is an invisible battle that the apostles sooner learned that they had to fight That's why they start promoting bishops on the assemblies of believers that they were gathering on their journeys. Bishop was a watchman that had the principal role to watch and take care of all kind of infiltrations against that the corrupt the teachings of the apostles, or those that only understand the mysteries of the kingdom through the testimony of the apostles that could not touch and follow Jesus the Christ. So this was the beginning of the modern fight. Today we will try to show you that the history that the modern pastors and priests doesn't want us to know is that history shows how Satan has corrupted those that say they, by themselves they are the followers of Peter, the followers of Christ. And I will try to show it through this program based on all the investigation that Brother Ken Johnson did. And I really advise you to buy this book, because if you don't want to waste years looking on all the writings of the early church fathers, the disciples of the apostles, even prior to the Romanization of the faith, I strongly recommend you to buy this book called Ancient Church Fathers, What the Disciples of the Apostle Thought. So we can say that the first contact that the apostles had with the manifest arm of the Gnostics is related in Acts chapter 8 with that person called Simon Magus, the one who tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit and was rebuked by Peter. It is said that this man just followed the apostles through some time, and this is written on the history of the church, on these books they were left from the disciples and the high witness of the apostles. It is said that this man returned to the first faith. He was known, as you can read in the chapter 8 of Acts, he was called a great man, because he was known to do some wonders. He was a magician. And people in Samaria thought he was a kind of god. So he just wanted to be promoted with the spirit of the Holy Spirit, with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when he got rebuked by Peter, he saw that he was going to lose his figure, his title. And sooner he get disappointed with the apostles, with the way of the Lord, and return to the prior state. And we can say that this man was the initiate of all the Gnostics' currents on the New Testament dispensation, on the New Alliance after the resurrection of Christ. By the 150 years after Christ, there were two great schools of Gnostics, followers of Valentinus and the followers of Basilius. Before we go to this part, I want you to tell you that when I say the first ancient fathers, I don't mean that they were priests. They were not called priests. They were testimonies, disciples, eyewitnesses of the apostles, like John, like Peter. They were like Luke and Barnabas. They touched, hear from themselves what the apostles said, and they wrote a lot of things. And sometimes we are being deceived, because when people talk about the Roman Catholicism, they include all these personages. But it's a mistake, because if there was people that tried to fight against what happened in Rome, was these testimonies of the apostles. People like Polycarp, people like Eusebius. These people were the first ones to accompany, to follow the apostles against heretics. That's how they called these Gnostics. And what is the what we call now the Gnostics, what these church fathers called heretics? Okay. Basically, the Gnostics, they didn't agree with everything that was taught by the testimonies of Christ, by the apostles. They accept something, but they refute something. That's how we get to the Ebionites. Some say these Ebionites were also the Essenes, where they found lately on 1946, I guess, all the documents from the Dead Sea. We call them the Dead Sea Scrolls. There was a community of Essenes there, but some of them say that these were the Ebionites. But I am not sure about that, because the Gnosticism has flowed through a myriad of arms of teachings that they were different from each other. Today I will center my attention of those teachings and those branches that will prove you that the Catholicism in the 3rd century after Christ institutionalized these teachings on their practice. Things like the doctrine of the blood and Christ, the real blood and Christ, being on the mass. First, this comes from the Gnostics, a branch of Gnostics. The divinization of Mary was brought by a teaching of the Gnostics, because let me just read here some of the central ideas of the Gnostics. Basically, they were saying, not all at the same time, and they were not concording all with all the teachings, but basically these were the major teachings of the Gnostics. They were saying that there were 30 ions, which mean divinities, gods, that exist on the Pleroma, which means outside time and space, which means eternity. I don't know where they get this, but there are references from the ancient mystical schools, from ancient paganism, the various forms of gods. Okay? So that's a mix with ancient paganism, with Babylonic teaching, with Egyptian panoply of gods. That's where this comes. And you see that in the Old Testament,
there were already manifestations of other schools of supernatural powers, like the ones who tried to defeat Moses in Egypt, Jannes and Jambres. So just remind this is an old battle under new disguises. The other thing, that's where come the idea of the divinization of Mary in later Catholicism, that there was a goddess called Sophia. This Sophia, which should be the replacement of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit we call now. This Sophia was a person, a divinity that creates the Demiurge, an angel, a creator angel, which for them would be the God of the Old Testament. So the God of the Old Testament would be just an angel with power of creation, created by this Sophia. And this God, the God of the Old Testament, was a tyrant for them. And being unaware of the other gods, other aeons, he thought he was the only God. So basically they are saying that the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of Adam, was a bad God. It was not the same God of the New Testament. It was not the original creator of all things. It was a created being that had powers of creation. And then this bad God created, this Demiurge created man. But Sophia, the goddess that created the creator God, gave to the man her spirit. So you can see where we're going, right? So what we have here is a fight of God. What we have here is Jesus was not from the Father. Jesus was a created being from this Demiurge. He was not God. He was a created being. And here we go. That's when John starts writing his epistles, saying, be careful with the Antichrist. Be careful, because all the spirits that come to say Jesus is not God, it's not the Christ, he didn't come on flesh, comes from the other side. So keep this in mind. There was a lot of distortions. These ones were the beginning of the distortions. You can say that Satan disguised himself with supernatural powers, because these guys, they were learning from the old schools of the fallen watchers, and they were invoking spirits to produce wonders. That's why Paul had to say, careful, even if an angel sends you another gospel, do not follow. Because there were a lot of supernatural things happening to promote these Gnostics' teachings. Like in the Old Testament, when they were able to transform wood to serpents like Moses did. That's how they control kings through the ages. Now they are saying they are ETs, brothers from space. But it's all the same, sorry, my expression, BS. It's all the same BS on another UFO, okay, on another transport. Now they are not gods, they are brothers from space, and Jesus, in their teachings, is just a good guy. So, as you can see, they travel through space They traveled through galaxies just to warn us that Jesus was not the real God. Okay. How does this connect to the modern Catholicism? Well, let me just read you about these Ebionites, okay? Who were the Ebionites? The Ebionites were founded by a man called Ebion. They believed God created the world. These ones, they believed that God created the world, but Jesus was just a man. They only used the Gospel of Matthew and not the Greek translation. They were using the original translation. Only they would never use another gospel than this one, because they say that all the other ones were copies of this one. Okay, and they say that Paul was an apostle, and they follow the Jewish customs. Basically, they were not refuting Christ as a prophet, but they were not on the disposition to leave the law on the cross. So they denied the divinity and the virgin birth of Jesus. They were saying that Mary and Joseph were his physical parents. These were the Ebionites. And there is a gospel based on the Hebrew book of Matthew that is corrupted by these guys. It's not the original book of Matthew. It's a gospel produced by these guys that corrupted because they changed the Word of God, as a lot of modern pastors like to call the Scriptures. They were more powerful than this God, and they changed the Word of God to what they believe. So when you read the Gospel of Ebionites, if you someday cross your path with the Gospel of Ebionites, remember, it's based on the original book of Matthew in Hebrew, in Aramaic. It is corrupted. It's like they were the Jehovah Witnesses of that time, okay? So they believed that Jesus was not the divinity. They denied that Jesus was the Son of God. They believed on ceremonies, on the observance of some ceremonies, law, was necessary for salvation. And they thought that no one could only be saved by the faith in Christ alone. It required a holy life, works. They practiced circumcision and observed the law of Moses and the Judaic style of life. These were the Ebionites. So here is the first connection from the Catholicism creed. Not only by faith, it's by a ritual life. You must endure on that some kind of rituals to testify of your holiness. Christ was not enough. So these were the first ones to mix law with grace, which later, when all these branches get power through the Roman Church assembly corruption, they all make pressure to put their fingers there. And all the things that there is behind doors of the Bible, because the Catholics have a lot of books that only the priests read, only the nuns read. There's a lot of ceremonial rites based on these things. This is the foundation of the works for salvation. It comes from these Ebionites. the word called Ebionites, that it is a synonym of poor. They didn't marry, they didn't make children. So you see how the Roman Church, when she was officially stateized by the emperor, where this comes, it comes from this Gnostic branch, the Ebionites. Of course, they didn't pull everything. Satan was happy enough when he mixed the lie you want to mix. It was enough to corrupt all the weak. So the Apostle John would never enter a bad house where the Gnostic Syrinthius, that was one of the followers of Ebion, was, because Syrinthius thought Jesus was just a man born of Joseph and Mary. This comes from Irenaeus, Against All Heresies, 3rd book, 11. Eusebius says Ebionite doctrine was spawned by evil demons. Those who believe Ebionite doctrine are not Christian. Ignatius in Semiraen 7 said those that believe the Passover does not refer to Jesus and his death on the cross are not Christian, and we should not even speak to them. So this is the first connection to the Catholicism doctrine of salvation. All the rites, First Communion, Second Communion, the baptism in child. There is a lot of rituals which, without them, the Catholicism says you go to hell, even if you are a believer in Christ, even if you dedicate your life to Christ. But because you didn't follow the prescription of the doctrines of the modern Ebionites, you wouldn't be accepted by God. In a few words, they were the gods. Not God was God. They decided, and God obeyed. They put a leash on God and say, this you bite, this you are good. So, as you can see, we start seeing here the root of the papal authority. Okay? But these are not the only ones where the Catholicism later goes drink all the heresies they promote now. There was a guy called Marcus. This was the first inventor of the doctrine they promote on the Mass. Marcus thought that the Holy Spirit put a drop of her blood on that times. They refer the Holy Spirit to the Ruach HaKodesh. It was a feminine word, right? So, Holy put a drop of her blood into the wine when he blessed it. Upon drinking, followers would understand mysteries and prophecy. This was the beginning of the false doctrine of transubstantiation. That's a good word. Transubstantiation. Marcus said the cup imparts grace if he used a special incantation. Marcus taught a second baptism of redemption by a laying on of hands. Marcus also gave a word of praise, a mantra. When he decides, the follower is ready to go on up to higher mysteries. And when the disciple is dying, last rites, on the last rites, that is the extreme unction. They are taught to keep secret the word and keep denied that it exists. So, as you can see, this is where comes the doctrine of the transubstantiation on the wine and the bread that the Catholics are eating and sharing in the Mass. They invoke their saviors, they invoke their spirits, and they teach that it's not anymore a simple wine, it is the blood of Christ. And I remember a testimony by a guy called William Schnevelin, that he was also a priest, when he was a priest, that when he followed the rules, the secret rules of the Catholicism, because for tourists like us, they only follow the Bible, right? But you cannot imagine the books they have for their priests. And while he was being raised as a priest, he was also a vampire. He was also initiated on satanic doctrines. And you can hear his testimony, the 9-hour testimony on YouTube, interview with an ex-vampire. So he was also learned and initiate on Satanism with the disguise of being a priest. When you hear this testimony, you will understand deeper how darkness is the way of the Catholicism, how darkness became this fake Christian religion. So he says that in some masses, some kind of spirit after the invocation really changed the wine in blood. That was a demonic spirit. So as you can see, it's really, really dark magic there. And this comes from this guy called Marcos. Comes from the Gnosticism. It comes from all that crap they believe about the 30 ions, 30 divinities. And that's why they have the prayers to a lot of saints. This touch in another great, great branch of Gnosticism called Corpocrates. And these were one of the most damage have produced on the initial church. The Corpocrates were a Gnostic cult that developed in the first century in Alexandria, Egypt. According to Clement of Alexandria, in Stromata 3, 431, the Epistle of Jude was written specifically for their heresy. Tertullian says the first cult sprang, then John's archenemy formed this Ebion. Teaching the Jewish creating the Gnostic. So it was not enough. They did on the cross. They began years their Christian living way of life. You see? This corporate they had a few unique points compared to other centered on their idolatry. They used small idols of Jesus, Aristotle, Pythagoras, and other people and angels, whom they said were emanations of pure God. You see? Today, it's nothing new. the fashion of the same BS. First, they made image of Jesus and angels and Aristotle, Pythagoras, the philosophers. They were considered emanations of God, God himself. Now you have Saint Peter, Saint Paul, Mary, Saint Joseph, and they have the power to intercede for you. So this is the same old life. That's where comes all the kind of idolatry. It comes from the Gnostics. It comes from the Nicenization of lies with truth. The devil doesn't need to take us to a completely lie, to take us far from the real salvation and understanding of salvation. He just needs to infiltrate with their subtle changes that later became doctrine, later became impositions of the leadership of the cults or congregations that usurp the teachings, even if necessary, from Christ himself. That's when they say the Bible is the unchangeable word of God, and if you don't accept this as a creed, you are demonized. But this is the way Satan uses to control your mind, to stop you from having direct communion with the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible can be changed, but not the Holy Spirit. And the Bible, according to Jesus, the scriptures, don't have eternal life. Only he has eternal life. But if you confront your leadership with the truth of the Bible they say they follow, they will not accept it. Because you are challenging their authority. Because they go further than what Jesus has taught and the apostles. All the great fight on the first apostles and their disciples was not to convince people that the scriptures was God. The great fight was to do not let infiltrate the lies on the truths that the scriptures were presenting about God's plan, about Jesus' advent. You will not read any one of the apostles and their direct disciples saying that the scriptures are the logos of God, the Word. You will not hear this. You will hear them say this was God's inspiration, or this is not from the Holy Spirit. But no one, not Paul, not Peter, not Luke, not Matthew, not John, would ever say the scriptures is God, the scripture is Jesus. But there's a lot of new Gnostic modern Thais lovers and Titans lovers, they go further. And they will demonize you if you challenge them with the truth. And people by fear or by losing the job that organization gave to them, by being more debtors to men than to God, they accept it's slavery. You cannot stay on these modern Gnostic temples. It doesn't need to be a Catholic one. When you are on an evangelical congregation that celebrates pagan holidays like Christmas, that was imposed by the Pope, celebrating the sun god that comes from the Gnostics. And you spent a whole year saying and hearing these pastors saying they are not like the Catholics. You better believe that you are a slave of a deception. Satan got you, got your family, because they confirm the lies of the other. And they know that Jesus never, ever gave an order to sing happy birthday to them. They know that Jesus never was born on that day, but another God was celebrated on that day on the Roman Empire. And if you close your eyes, and if you quiet your mouth because you are afraid of that Titan's lover, reptile, because they have the knowledge to free you. They have their sons on the university, the best ones, because they have great friends on politics, like the first corrupted bishops were, have great friends on the Senate of Rome. And they will not get you free. You know why? Because they are also Masons. They are also Gnostics. And all they care is about your money. When you hear people saying that, oh, there is a tradition from Christmas. There is a tradition from teachings in the Bible. That's witchcraft. That's the modern witchcraft Satan is using to snare you, to curse you. Because once you are informed of the truth, it is your duty to separate yourself from this Babylonic web of lies. For more money they give you, they will send you to hell because you didn't love the truth. Now, how will you love the truth when you have a gun pointed to your head and say, deny Jesus the Christ? Tell me, if you are not strong enough now, how will you be enough strong when you have a gun against your head? We cannot follow another teaching that confronts, that goes further than what Jesus has taught and Jesus has left to their apostles by the Holy Spirit to bring it to us. The problem is that we are not born with all the knowledge. And God knows this. And God knows the deceptions to enter and grow in our lives. You know why? To test our faithfulness. To see if we are really able to leave everything behind for the love of the truth, the justice of the cross. In the 3rd century, when Constantine decreed the religion, Catholicism, to all the empire, Satan made a feast on hell. He got our ancestors between two lines, the completely paganism and the fake religion controlled by Satan and his minions. Demons start ruling all those they say they are servants of Christ, but it is another Christ, not the Jewish one, not the one who came from the testimonies of the apostles. Even before that, there was a lot of fight and discord about these men, they already start being corrupted in some ideas like the worshipping at Sunday, if they were really invulnerable to all the pressure they were feeling, they would never recognize the change, the Sabbath to the Sunday. The change was not from the Sabbath to the Sunday. The change, the real change Jesus promoted and the apostles, was from only the Sabbath to worship God to all days of the week. But even before Constantine officially promoted this another false doctrine, these guys were already fighting against two fronts, Jewish, Ebionites, and all the branches from the Jewish pressure, the Mosaic, the Pharisees, and these Gnostics that were nothing more than the ancient fallen watchers, believers, lovers of astrology, lovers of magic, of incantations, of invocations to spirits. There is a lot of deception even on this day over there, being called Christians. And I hope that this program will help you to discern some of them, because some of them are quite well disguised, making a good living with your money and preaching Bible, and preaching Bible completely distortion, completely out of context, and posing themselves as the new gods of your life. If you go against them, you will be treated by them and all their followers as a demon, because they are the new gods, the new intermediates between you and God. I'll be right back.
Amen. I am happy to see that there are people on the chat room now that are experiencing the fight, the good fight for the faith, because that's the only good fight we have to endure here. All the other fights, God will fight for us. He will provide everything. The only thing we must keep in our strength is the good fight of our faith. But Paul said, as last words before being killed, I keep my faith. I walked the long roads and I kept my faith. So if you are experiencing this with fear, spirits of control, if you are feeling the infiltration on your family, trying to control your husband, your father, your son, your wife, that's the good fight you have to do by yourself. God provides you the faith necessary to raise a flag of the kingdom on your house, the friends that God will bring to you that will understand that fight and will stay on your side fighting against the usurpers. So do not make yourself slave of men. Do not make yourself followers of men. Do not follow Demolishing Strongholds ministry, but fight for following the God that I am presenting you through this ministry, the Jewish Savior that will give you the Holy Spirit from Jesus, that will guide you in all the truth that is on the Scriptures, on the Bible, and will not let you be deceived by Satan and their agents when they promote every kind of trick to deceive you, even through the Scriptures, even using the Scriptures. Just think about this. One of the great arguments they use to promote the Bible as the Word of God, as Jesus himself, is when Jesus was tempted on the desert, right? What they say, he used the Scriptures. Okay, and what Satan used? The Scriptures. So God was letting himself be manipulated by Satan to tempt the Son? No. The Scriptures are manifestations of grace of our Lord. There is Word of God on the Scriptures. When God gave the law to Moses, it was the Word of God, but it was for that time, for that person, for that people on the desert. It was an instruction of that dispensation. That was the Word of God. But the real eternal Word of God is what comes out from Jesus' mouth. So it's in the Bible, it is. There is the Word of God in the Bible. There is enough Word of God for you to know who God is and how much God loves. But when Jesus answers Satan, he used what the Father has said on the Scriptures. That was the Word of God. So when someone uses the Bible, has the Word of God, and it is not the Old Testament God or a prophet speaking in the name of God, when it is not Jesus himself speaking, and they say, they use that scripture to say, this is the Word of God, obey me, and they are taking that out of the context to enslave you on a Gnostic idea, a modern Gnostic cult, or a modern Mammon cult, you don't need to fear disobeying the Word of God, because that is not the Word of God.
that is a scripture out of context, being manipulated has an order of God for your life. Even Paul, in some of his epistles, say, I don't say this as a revelation of God, but I think I have the Holy Spirit, the permission. So even the Bible makes a difference between scripture and scripture. That was not the intention of Paul to create a book to replace Jesus himself, the teachings of Jesus. So all that kind of fear you feel confronting these pastors that think themselves they are bigger than the master. They are owners of the flock. They live with the wood of the lamb. These are demons. The same spirits that help these guys to produce cults. And I can say this because I was on a deceptive church, very well disguised as Christians, blinded by the same spirit. When they put their hands to pray for you, they pass this spirit and will give you dreams confirming what they say. This Simon Magus had the power to send spirit demons that produce dreams at night, fear in their fowl. And there's warning of the early church fathers about this kind of spirit. The only thing you must have to confront any revelation, any dream, any vision, if it is in confront what Jesus has taught, what the apostles have taught, all the tithing's deception can be confronted very easily. If you're a Bible believer, if you don't mind that the others pretend to be, but you really are, you just confront the leadership with the first council of the apostles. What the Holy Spirit said for every church, obey, was about idolatry, fornication, and the blood of the flesh. Do you think that the Holy Spirit forget to tell about tithing? When you confront a corrupt leader, he will demonize you. He will attack you saying that you are destroying the faith, the real faith, that you are manipulating the scriptures. Because they will never, ever choose to surrender their God called Mammon to Jesus. They pretend just to follow Jesus, but they are following the same spirits that these guys thought they could buy with money. This is their God. They are the new Gnostics. If you think that I am crazy, well, let me talk about two persons from the past. Marcion, one of the Gnostics schools that came out from the first century, and the ones that are more famous, more recognizable for you and me, called the Nicolaitan. First I will deal with Marcion. Marcion, let me read something about him. In the middle of the second century after Christ, Marcion left the church and started the Gnostic Marcionite. Marcion was a native from Sinope on the Black Sea. He first studied with the Stoics, the Greek philosophers, then became a Christian. According to Epiphanius, as he began to apostatize, he seduced a young girl and was excommunicated. Marcion then traveled to Rome in hopes of being readmitted on the church, because the church was Rome, was leaving the Gnostics' teachings coming inside already. Mersenne had traveled to Rome. Later he joined Cerdon and another Augustine, preaching in Rome, helping to corrupt the assembly, hoping to create a schism in the church. Marcion's most famous disciples were Apelles, Lucanus, Basilus, Photitus, and Blastus. This same Blastus later caused a schism in Rome. Marcionites continued until the 6th century, principally in Egypt, Israel, and Syria. Now let's see what these Marcionites have done with the truth. Marcion rejected the Old Testament and used cut-up versions of Luke and some of Paul's epistles. He thought the God of the Old Testament and his prophet were evil and will be destroyed. He thought that God is the author of sin. There were two equal and opposite gods, one good and one evil. So, if he teach that the Old Testament was the evil one, guess who was the one that was good in their ideas? And that the law and the gospel being so against each other proves two different gods. So, he uses the scriptures to promote the division of God. He was strongly addicted to astrology, thought there was no resurrection and that the saved should not marry. So he was so saint that he corrupted a young girl and then thought that the other should not marry. Isn't that something strange, where the laws of the cults, congregations, are only for the other ones, not for the leadership, not for the sons of the leadership? When this happens on a congregation, you better believe that it is corrupted by the same spirits of the Gnostics. He removed reference from in his gospel that Christ was the creator and said Jesus was a phantom, did not have a physical body. When you are in a congregation that is called Christian, but Jesus is not already the supreme teacher, it has been replaced by a material master, which word is the word of God, which interpretation of the scriptures is the word of God. This makes Jesus a phantom on that congregation. This makes the apostles hold school, and this is a sign of Gnosticism on your door, sitting beside you on the same building, worshipping another kind of spirit. That you have to keep for yourself. When the laws of the congregation are only for the flock and not for the leadership, when they change the laws of the congregation according to the circumstance and what comes from outside to their wallets, that's a kind of Gnosticism. When Jesus becomes just a phantom there. Now let's see how they are able to build this empire, new empire. What is the tactic? Besides being helped by demons and inspired by demons that makes Jesus a phantom and the followers of Jesus demonized, ostracized, what is the mechanism? The initial mechanism. This is what Jesus warned the church on Revelation about the Nicolaitans. the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, which Jesus hated. And for you that don't know what the Nicolaitans were, I will read some of the investigation that our brother did about this and the conclusions of the first ones that had to deal with them. And it's interesting because it is the only branch of Gnosticism that was found something that the Catholicism still uses today as a mechanism of control. Let me read for you. In Revelation, John wrote that the Ephesus church hated the Nicolaitans. I don't know if it was Ephesus church, but I think it is. And got rid of the false apostles who started the Gnostic cults. But in the process, they lost their first love. I don't think it is the church of Ephesus. But maybe it is, I don't know. The ancient church fathers taught Nicolaitan characteristics include the practice of fornication, both heterosexual and homosexual forms of adultery. Then, and this is the key point, in a confession ritual, on a weekly basis, they were forgiven on the 8th day. Nicolaitans also used idols and participated in pagan rituals, which also means they tolerate ungodly things. This was a form also of idolatry practiced by the Corpocratians, the Gnostics. So these guys had a ritual that at the 8th day from their confession, they would be forgiven, out of forgiven, by confessing to the leadership their sin. So they start doing all again. So you see, where the Catholic Church and all the branches that came until the evangelic confession to pastors, comes the mind control, the control of your life. You are trusting on a Gnostic mechanism of control of your family, of your life. When you confess your sins, when you depend on another man to be sure of the forgiveness of God. So you go and you talk to the leadership of your group, to the leadership, and on the other day, all congregation knows what you have done. But that's the way they teach. Confess your sins to each other. But should we attend to a hierarchy on this confessing sin? Or should we share with the ones that the Holy Spirit give us peace to trust? They will understand our weakness. You see, there is a lot of people that are being victim of this Nicolaitan even today on the Catholicism and in the evangelic pastors empires. A pastor never had the role to forgive sins to anybody. A pastor was a vigilant that should be watching for these things does not enter on the assemblies of the Christians believers. And instead of rebuking, they took part of the party with demons. You see how deep is the deception? We must be very selective with whom, because these guys were infiltrating on the primitive of Christians, pretending want to be saved, but they were fomenting their
belief. They were spreading the darkness. And lots of them, with the help of demons, buying the faith of the weak ones, of the corrupted one, like in the beginning with the bishops of Rome. So when you have these mega churches, and not so mega churches, but preachers of the truth that defend Christmas tradition, that defend tithing laws for Christians, and guess who wins with that? Just follow the money. Guess who keeps the money? When you see these things happening around you, even if they speak good things and true about other issues, you better believe that your faith is being infiltrated by a new Gnostic disguised guy. He doesn't love, he doesn't follow Yahushua. He doesn't follow what the Bible teaches about the right path to heaven. He just follow their bellies. You see how deep this go? You can be saved without another guy around you. You just need Jesus to reign over you, like the guy on the cross. He never walked with an apostle, he never walked with a prophet, but he was saved because he recognized the kingdom of Jesus on the last moment. That's why we'll be a lot of surprise in the land of heaven. Just fill yourself with the boldness that God wants to give you, and ensure today your role in the kingdom. Love the truth and do not be deceived by the liar's lovers, the lovers of money that buy or think they can buy everything with the money. Let them try to buy me. Let them challenging me. There are no courage in them. They all tremble with the God that is in me, because I would embarrass them on a radio, on a TV, and I would call all the names they really should be called when they teach deception. That's why there will be no much people liking this program. But the ones they like, they just don't like. They love the presence of our God here. It is a presence of love, but it is the Lord of the hosts also. It is the Lord of the recompenses. Be sure that now you walk the right path to ensure the same credit Paul has wrote on the scripture. Fought the good fight, and I keep not a great bank account, not a great house, an assembly, I keep my faith. I did not change. I be not corrupted. I know who is my master, teacher, my example of life. And God sent his angels, his messengers, those that are like him, to help me to keep my faith in him. God will always send his angels or the one who are tamim to him. Tamim is the word used in the Bible to Noah, to Abraham. By Jesus, if you want to be perfect, leave everything and follow me. Focus on me. Do as I did. Confront as I confronted. Even if it's the abomination, do not surrender to fear. Do not surrender to the rich ones. Because there is a lot of people pretending that they are rich. They pretend to be rich like the angel in Revelation book, but he was naked in the eyes of the Lord. He was so naked and poor that the only thing he had was money. Do not want to follow these examples, because bigger is the one that is in us, with us, than those that are in them. May the Lord bless you, and I hope that you get the connections. Nothing new under the sun. All the same Satan BS, just with another clothes, another kind of speech, but it's all the same old invisible war. It's the war against the faith in the Jewish Messiah that died and resurrected. They just don't want you to follow him, to know him, and to depend completely on him. God bless you all. I will leave you with this beautiful music called Gabriel's Oboe. I hope that you love, because it touched my soul. God bless you all.